Good morning, 740 here on News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. And joining us, as he typically does on a Thursday like this, Mike Wood, the Public Information Officer for the Pensacola Police Department. Mike, welcome back to the show, sir.
Good morning.
Good morning. You have officers who are preparing, if called, to go eastward after the storm?
Absolutely. That's been planned here for about a week or so. We do have people or officers that will be deployed if needed, but we will sit back and wait until we're asked to go.
That's a, don't rush in, just wait until you're asked, but always say yes if you do get asked, right?
Yeah, it's just it's a waste of resources to go over there without being asked, and then you don't have anything to do. I mean, it is possible to have too many people in some areas. So the best thing for us to do is sit back and wait until we're asked to go to a specific location to do a specific task.
Absolutely. I had a long conversation yesterday with the mayor about this proposed camping ban, camping ordinance in Pensacola that, to my reading eyes, goes quite a bit farther than the statewide ordinance that, you know, doesn't have a lot of enforcement elements to it. It's kind of an unenforced mandate. But I have a lot of questions about this, but is that how PPD is looking at this ordinance? Is we just need to have rules so that we know what we're supposed to do with people who are sleeping where they shouldn't be sleeping or are in places where they don't need to be?
Yeah, that's what it is. It gives us a little more teeth to use should we need it, but it's important to understand that most of the time the people, the homeless that we deal with are not wanting to give us a hard time. If they're asked to move along, they do that. But this ordinance will come into effect for those who just have no interest in doing the right thing, have no interest in moving, and just want to give folks a hard time, whether it be law enforcement, citizens, or business owners. So that's going to help us with what we need in order to get our jobs done to fix those situations. And at the same time, you know, we have community response specialists. We have four officers that work downtown on top of that go and talk to these people on a daily basis and try to find out what the core of the problem is and look for long-term solutions. So since that program has been in effect, we've helped a lot of people. Some of them even have left town and reconnected with their families because of the work that the community response specialists are doing.
No, I think that's wonderful work. Questions that I have about how this ordinance, proposed ordinance in the city might work ultimately. One is, and this also applies in general to what the state has done, do you feel like you have a place to take people? You know, when you have to remove somebody, let's say if you have to remove them or, you know, you're offering to take them, whatever, they're sleeping in one of the parks, okay, or they're sleeping on Palafox or something like this, and you need to move them. Do you feel like you have a place where you can take them? Because that's one of the problems is, you know, where do they go to? If they can't go here, where can they go?
Yes, we do. We have shelters, and we have plenty of them. We have people that are ready for that. But the problem, Andrew, is that some of them just do not want anything to do with going to a shelter,
right,
or an organization that will help them. Because in order to stay there, you have to follow rules.
Right.
And no drugs, no alcohol, and things like that. So some of them have no interest in being taken to a place where they can get help.
You know, I thought it was the most interesting thing. I went on a tour of Waterfront Rescue Mission just this week, and I haven't talked about it just yet because we've been occupied with other things. But one of the most interesting things I noticed is that right across the street from Waterfront Rescue Mission, there were, I don't know, 10 or 15 people either in various phases of congregating or sleeping on the sidewalk or something like this. And I asked, I said, what is that? And I was told, well, some people want to smoke. And so they go across the street to smoke and hang out. And some people don't want the rules and the structure. And so, I mean, which is, you know, the problem is, what do you do with those people? And for people who do not want to or do not qualify for or not eligible for the shelter, do you have a place to take them?
Well, you know, unfortunately, no. Unless it's a situation to where they're in a danger to themselves or someone else, then a Baker Act would kick in. But,
sure.
Yeah, there's a gray area there to where we, you know, you can't force them to go. So it's every individual, every situation that we come upon has to be dealt with on its own because they're all different. So when the officers respond, when the community response specialists respond to each situation, we have to take into account all the circumstances and make a decision on what to do at that point.
Well, you say you can't force them to go, but the ordinance says you can't let them camp. I mean, the statewide one says you can't let them camp, right? And this one says that they, you know, they have to. It's a fine, $50 the first day, and I think $500 the second day if they're like it says preparing a sleeping bag or other material for bedding to be used as a living accommodation. Like, you know, you can't just leave them, right?
Right. Well, the first offense is a civil penalty. A civil citation is issued. After that, then it can become criminal. It can go up to $500 and go to jail if it has to go that far.
Okay.
But our purpose out there is to try to make it not go that far. We don't want to have to do that, and we want to be able to help them find other alternatives than just having to put somebody in jail for something like that. That's the ordinance is giving us giving them opportunity to do that. And hopefully we won't have to take it that far.
We're talking to Mike Wood. He's the public information officer for the Pensacola Police Department. I definitely want to talk about the car sleeping question because that was a big conversation topic yesterday. One part of the proposed ordinance in the city would be that you cannot stay on a private residence without authorization from the owner. Another part is that you cannot camp on commercial property. Nobody can allow you to do that either. Does this give you enough clarity that you can deal with people who are camping, let's say, on a closed building or a vacant property or, an abandoned house? Or these are the kind of situations I'm assuming you deal with quite a bit. Does this give you the authority and the guidance you need to deal with those situations?
Well, it can. And the reason I say that is because each situation is different. If you just lost your job and were kicked out of your apartment or your home, especially if you have kids, we're going to get help from them. Even if you don't have kids, you may be down on your luck for a night or a night or two. But there's a clear difference to us when you're down on your luck and you're there a night or two versus being there for 2 weeks and there's garbage starting to collect around your vehicle. So there's a big difference right there, and each situation has to be dealt with on its own.
Yeah, and that's the clarification I wanted to be sure to mention today is I talked a bunch yesterday with the mayor about things like, the camping at the Walmart or camping at, Bartram Park or something like that. Sleeping in your car, okay, is clearly prohibited in this ordinance. But there's a subsequent section that says those activities constitute camping. I'm just reading from it. When it reasonably appears to a law enforcement or a code enforcement officer that in light of all the circumstances, the participants in conducting the activity or activities are in fact using the area as a temporary living accommodation, regardless of the intent of the participants or the nature of any other activities in which they may also be engaging. I think of, what do they call them? The van life people, who travel around and sleep in parking lots. Or I think of truckers, like the Walmart parking lot or travelers. Or I think of the mom with a daughter or a son or two that flee domestic violence and don't have anywhere to go tonight, but they can't stay there and they sleep in their car somewhere. What will the PPD response to this be?
Well, again, it depends on the situation. Like you said, if somebody has no place to go, fleeing from domestic violence, we're obviously compassionate to that, and we will work with that. But if there's somebody clearly trying to take advantage of the system or the situation or the location that they're at, we will deal with that as well. The first thing we're going to do is get a hold of the property owner and make sure that they have not granted them permission, because we're going to hear that a lot, that I have permission to be here. They don't have it in writing. So it's up to us to try to find that out. But if it's obvious that they're taking advantage of the situation, again, with trash and debris around their car, then we use other means to take care of that situation.
Yeah, and I do have a concern, because I've heard from law enforcement officers that one of the challenges is exactly the claim that they have permission, and then establishing that they do, and even finding the owner of the property sometimes is a challenge. Right now, it won't apply in commercial situations because this prohibits all camping on commercial. But if it's a private lot or house or something like that, it's a challenge to figure out whether they do or do not actually have permission, right?
Yeah, it is. Every piece of land has an owner. And again, we have officers that have the time and the dedication and knowledge to go and find out who these people are and try to make contact with them and see what the situation is. And more times than not, once we make contact with them, they do not have permission to be there. And then we have to deal with it that way in order to get them to move along.
All right. I just want to give you a last chance because I knew we would talk about this a little bit more extensively this morning. Is there anything I didn't ask or anything that you want to add that, you know, to help people understand either what this proposed ordinance would mean for PPD and for people who are camping and or homeless? Or, I mean, just anything I didn't ask you about this that you want to comment on?
Well, we just want to make sure everyone knows, you know, first of all, it's got to get passed. And then if it does, that we are not going to go down there swinging a hammer. We are compassionate. We want to help people, and we don't want to go down there heavy-handed and just start kicking people out of everywhere. You know, we certainly understand that people have situations that they cannot help, but we are also sympathetic to the citizens that walk along Palafox, to the business owners that own businesses downtown and other places in the city, and we need to take care of them as well.
Yeah, and I agree, and I think a lot of the application of this is going to be, of course, to long-term people staying in cars and properties where they shouldn't be, but also, you know, camping on Palafox is not going to be allowed, and this starts to create a framework within which you can, you know, enforce that, which the state is requiring you to be able to enforce that, too. So there's a lot of dimensions to this problem. Mike Wood, last thing we always like to ask is, do you have a cop myth or a did you know for us this week?
Yeah, and it has to do with the storm coming up. And I was asked this week, what do you guys do in a storm when you're told to get off the street? Because I believe it's 40, 45 miles an hour. The chief of police will decide to pull everybody off the street. And he was asking me, do you all sit at the police department and play checkers during the storm? And the answer to that is absolutely not. We have officers that are going to be stationed in various locations throughout the city, shelters, fire departments, the airport, other places. And when calls come in to 911 dispatch, they are going to prioritize those calls. Obviously, we cannot respond during the storm, but as soon as the wind lets up and as soon as the command staff feels like it's safe for us to go out, we will start hitting those priority one calls. And so we're making decisions on who is closest, who has the equipment to get there and get that done and execute that plan once the storm passes. So we are very busy during the storm, even though that we're not out on the street. We've got a lot going on and a lot to plan for in the hours ahead.
Well, you know, strategizing so you can most effectively respond when the storm passes enough that you can get out on the streets is essential. I personally will never begrudge you a donut, a cup of coffee, a game of checkers or chess, a little bit of self-care, especially for an extended period of time when all you can do is sit and watch how you can't do anything, can be pretty stressful for first responders. So you guys take care of yourselves, and I know that you will. Mike Wood, Public Information Officer for the PPD, as always, sir, thank you for the time. Thanks for talking with me and our audience. I certainly appreciate what you all do for us.
My pleasure, sir.